Poets, come out of your closets. Open your windows. Open your doors. You have been holed up too long in your closed worlds.
This is East End Inc. Lawrence Ferlinghetti, poet and publisher of City Lights Bookstore in San Francisco, died on the 22nd of February 2021 at the age of 101. This month, area poets met at Canio's Books in Sag Harbor to read from Ferlinghetti's work. Queens College professor Fred Gardafe started the reading.
Lawrence Ferlinghetti was a poet, editor, playwright, artist, novelist, truth-seeker, truth-sayer. What he contributed to the American conscious is a depth, a concentration, and a simplicity that few of today's writers can match. He has published and defended controversial literature in courts, has traveled to enemy countries, enemy in quotation marks, and has shared those experiences through his writing. The Old Italian's Dying by Lawrence Ferlinghetti. For years, the old Italians have been dying all over America. For years, the old Italians in faded felt hats have been sunning themselves and dying. You have seen them on the benches in the park in Washington Square, the old Italians in their high black button shoes, the old men in their old felt fedoras with stained hatbands, have been dying and dying day by day. You have seen them every day in Washington Square, San Francisco. The slow bell tolls in the morning in the church of Peter and Paul, in the marzipan church on the plaza. Towards 10 in the morning, the slow bell tolls in the towers of Peter and Paul, and the old men who are still alive sit sunning themselves in a row on the wood benches in the park, and watch the processions in and out. Funerals in the mornings, weddings in the afternoon, slow bell in the morning, fast bell at noon. In one door, out the other, the old men sit there in their hats and watch the coming and going. You have seen them, the ones who feed the pigeons, cutting the stale bread with their thumb and penknives, the ones with old pocket watches, the old ones with gnarled hands and wild eyebrows, the ones with the baggy pants with both belt and suspenders, the grappa drinkers with teeth like corn, the Piemontese, the Genovese, the Siciliani, smelling of garlic and pepperoni, the ones who loved Mussolini, the old fascists, the ones who loved Garibaldi, the old anarchists reading L'Umanità Nuova, the ones who love Sacco and Vanzetti, they are almost all gone now. They are sitting and waiting their turn and sunning themselves in front of the church, over the doors of which is inscribed a phrase which would seem to be unfinished from Dante's Paradiso about the glory of the one who moves everything. The old men are waiting for it to be finished, for their glorious sentence on earth to be finished. The slow bell tolls and tolls. The pigeons strut about, not even thinking of flying. The air too heavy with heavy tolling. The black hired hearses draw up. The black limousines with black window shades shielding the windows. The widows with the black long veils who will outlive them all. You have seen them, madre di terra, madre di mare. The widows climb out of the limousines. The family mourners step out in stiff suits. The widows walk so slowly up the steps of the cathedral, fishnet veils drawn down, leaning hard on dark cloth arms. Their faces do not fall apart. They are merely drawn apart. They are still the matriarchs, outliving everyone, in little Italys all over America. The old dead dagos hauled out in the morning sun, that does not mourn for anyone. One by one, year by year, they are carried out. The bell never stops tolling. The old Italians with lapstrake faces are hauled out of their hearses by the paid pallbearer in mafioso morning coats and dark glasses. The old men are hauled out in their black coffins like small skiffs. They enter the true church for the first time in many years in these carved black boats. The priests scurry about as if to cast off the lines. The other old men still alive on the benches watch it all with their hats on. You have seen them sitting there, waiting for the bocce ball to start rolling, for the bell, waiting for the bell, for the slow bell to be finished tolling, telling the unfinished paradiso story, as seen in an unfinished phrase on the face of a church, in a black boat without sails, making his final haul.
The dog trots freely in the street and sees reality. And the things he sees are bigger than himself, and the things he sees are his reality. Drunks in doorways, moons on trees. The dog trots freely through the street, and the things he sees are smaller than himself. Fish on newsprint, ants in holes, chickens in Chinatown windows, their heads a block away. The dog trots freely in the street, and the things he smells something like himself. The dog trots freely in the street, past puddles and babies, past cats and cigars, pool rooms, policemen. He doesn't hate cops. He merely has no use for them. And past the dead cows hung up whole in front of the San Francisco meat market. He would rather eat a tender cow than a tough policeman, though either might do. And he goes past the Romeo Ravioli factory and past Coit's Tower and past Congressman Doyle. He's afraid of Coit's Tower. But he's not afraid of Congressman Doyle. Although what he hears is very discouraging, very depressing, very absurd to a sad young dog like himself, to a serious dog like himself. But he has his own free world to live in, his own fleas to eat. He will not be muzzled. Congressman Doyle is just another fire hydrant to him. The dog trots freely in the street and has his own dog's life to live and to think about and to reflect upon, touching, tasting, testing everything, investigating everything without benefit of perjury, a real realist with a real tale to tell and a real tale to tell it with, a real live barking democratic dog engaged in real free enterprise with something to say about ontology. Something to say about reality and how to see it and how to hear it with his head cocked sideways at street corners as if he is just about to have his picture taken for Victor Records. Listening for his master's voice and looking like a live question mark into the great gramophone of puzzling existence with its wondrous hollow horn, which always seems just about to spout forth some victorious answer to everything. For all I know, maybe she was happier than anyone, that lone crone in the shawl on the orange freight train with the little tame bird in her handkerchief, crooning to it all the time, Mia Moscata, Mia Moscata. And none of the Sunday excursionists with their bottles in their baskets paying any attention, and the coach creaking on through cornfields so slowly that butterflies blew in and out.
Reading Yeats, I do not think of Ireland, but of Midsummer New York, and of myself back then reading the copy I found on the 3rd Avenue L. The L with its fly-hung fans and its signs reading, "Spitting is forbidden." The L careening through its third-story world with its third-story people in their third-story doors, looking as if they had never heard of the ground. An old dame watering her plant, or a joker in a straw, putting a stick pin in his peppermint tie, and looking just like he had nowhere to go but Coney Island. Or an undershirted guy locking in his rocker, watching the L pass by as if he expected it to be different each time. Reading Yeats, I do not think of Arcady and of its woods, which Yeats thought dead. I think instead of all the gone faces getting off at unknown places with their hats and their jobs, and of that lost book I had with its blue cover and its white inside, where a penciled hand had written, "Horsemen pass by."
I'm going to read a longer poem of Ferlinghetti's from A Coney Island of the Mind. I am leading a quiet life in Mike's place every day, watching the champs of the Dante billiard parlor and the French pinball addicts. I am leading a quiet life on Lower East Broadway. I am an American. I was an American boy. I read the American Boy magazine and became a Boy Scout in the suburbs. I thought I was Tom Sawyer, catching crayfish in the Bronx River and imagining the Mississippi. I had a baseball mitt and an American Flyer bike. I delivered the Woman's Home Companion at 5 in the afternoon or the Herald Trib at 5 in the morning. I can still hear the paper thump on lost porches. I had an unhappy childhood. I saw Lindbergh land. I looked homeward and saw no angel. I got caught stealing pencils from the 5- and 10-cent store the same month I made Eagle Scout. I chopped trees for the CCC and sat on them. I landed in Normandy in a rowboat that turned over. I have seen the educated armies on the beach at Dover. I have seen Egyptian pilots in purple clouds, shopkeepers rolling up their blinds at midday, potato salad and dandelions at anarchist picnics. I am reading Lorna Doone and A Life of John Most, Terror of the Industrialist, a bomb on his desk at all times. I have seen the garbagemen parade in the Columbus Day parade behind the glib, farting trumpeters. I have not been out to the Cloisters in a long time, nor to the Tuileries, but I still keep thinking of going. I have seen the garbagemen parade when it was snowing. I have eaten hot dogs in ballparks. I have heard the Gettysburg Address and the Ginsburg Address. I like it here, and I won't go back where I came from. I, too, have ridden boxcars, boxcars, boxcars. I have traveled among unknown men. I have been in Asia with Noah in the Ark. I was in India when Rome was built. I have been in the manger with an ass. I have seen the Eternal Distributor from a white hill in South San Francisco and the Laughing Woman at Luna Park outside the Funhouse in a great rainstorm, still laughing. I have heard the sound of revelry by night. I have wandered lonely as a crowd. I am leading a quiet life outside of Mike's place every day, watching the world walk by in its curious shoes. I once started out to walk around the world, but ended up in Brooklyn. That bridge was too much for me. I have engaged in silence, exile, and cunning. I flew too near the sun, and my wax wings fell off. I am looking for my old man, whom I never knew. I am looking for the lost leader with whom I flew. Young men should be explorers. Home is where one starts from. But mother never told me there'd be scenes like this. Womb weary, I rest. I have traveled. I have seen Goof City. I have seen the Mass Mess. I have heard Kid Ory cry. I have heard a trombone preach. I have heard Debussy strained through a sheet. I have slept in 100 islands where books were trees. I have heard the birds that sounded like bells. I have worn gray flannel trousers and walked upon the beach of hell. I have dwelt in 100 cities where trees were books. What subways, what taxis, what cafes, what women with blind breasts, limbs lost among skyscrapers. I have seen the statues of heroes at Carrefour, Danton weeping at a metro entrance,
Columbus and Barcelona, pointing westward up the Ramblas, towards the American Express, Lincoln in his stony chair, and a great stone face in North Dakota. I know that Columbus did not invent America. I have heard 100 housebroken Ezra Pounds. They should all be freed. It is a long time since I was a herdsman. I am leading a quiet life in Mike's Place every day, reading the classified columns. I have read the Reader's Digest from cover to cover and noted the close identification of the United States and the Promised Land, where every coin is marked "In God We Trust," but the dollar bills do not have it, being gods unto themselves. I read the want ads daily, looking for a stone, a leaf, an unfound door. I hear America singing in the yellow pages. One could never tell the soul has such rages. I read the papers every day and hear humanity amiss. In the sad plethora of print, I see where Walden Pond has been drained to make an amusement park. I see they're making Melville eat his whale. I see another war is coming, but I won't be there to fight it. I have read the writing on the outhouse wall. I helped Kilroy write it. I marched up Fifth Avenue, blowing on a bugle in a tight platoon, but hurried back to the Casbah looking for my dog. I see a similarity between dogs and me. Dogs are the true observers walking up and down the world through the Malloy country. I have walked down alleys too narrow for Chryslers. I have seen 100 horseless milk wagons in a vacant lot in Astoria. Ben Shahn never painted them, but they're there, askew in Astoria. I have heard the junkman's obligato. I have ridden superhighways and believed the billboard's promises, crossed the Jersey flats and seen the cities of the plain, and wallowed in the wilds of Westchester with its roving bands of natives in station wagons. I have seen them. I am the man. I was there. I suffered somewhat. I am an American. I have a passport. I did not suffer in public. And I'm too young to die. I am a self-made man. I have plans for the future. I am in line for a top job. I may be moving on to Detroit. I am only temporarily a tie salesman. I am a good Joe. I am an open book to my boss. I am a complete mystery to my closest friends. I am leading a quiet life in Mike's Place every day, contemplating my navel. I am a part of the body's long madness. I've wandered in various nightwoods. I have leaned in drunken doorways. I have written wild stories without punctuation. I am the man. I was there. I suffered somewhat. I have sat in an uneasy chair. I am a tear of the sun. I am a hill where poets run. I invented the alphabet after watching the flights of cranes who made letters with their legs. I am a lake upon a plain. I am a word in a tree. I am a hill of poetry. I am a raid on the inarticulate. I have dreamt that all my teeth fell out, but my tongue lived to tell the tale. For I am a still of poetry. I am a bank of song. I am a player piano in an abandoned casino on a seaside esplanade in a dense fog, still playing. I see a similarity between the laughing woman and myself. I have heard the sound of summer in the rain. I have seen girls on boardwalks have complicated sensations. I understand their hesitations. I am a gatherer of fruit. I have seen how kisses cause euphoria. I have risked enchantment. I have seen the Virgin in an apple tree at Chartres and St. Joan Burn at the Bella Union. I have seen giraffes and jungle gyms, their necks like love, wound around the iron circumstances of the world. I have seen the Venus Aphrodite, armless in her drafty corridor. I have heard a siren sing at 15th Avenue. I have seen the white goddess dancing in the Rue des Beaux-Arts on the 14th of July, and the beautiful dame without mercy picking her nose in Chumley's. She did not speak English. She had yellow hair and a hoarse voice. I am leading a quiet life in Mike's place every day, watching the pocket pool players, making the minestrone scene, wolfing the macaronis, and I have read somewhere the meaning of existence, yet have forgotten just exactly where. But I am the man, and I'll be there, and I may cause the lips of those who are asleep to speak, and I may make my notebooks into sheaves of grass, and I may write my own eponymous epitaph, instructing the horsemen to pass.
Surfers are poets too, if you look at it that way, at least in the western part of the West. They too are looking for the perfect wave with the perfect rhythm sublime. They too are looking for the endless light at the end of the tube of time. They too would fly through the eye of a needle. They too are realists and know a killer wave when they see one. They are not cyberpunks surfing through cyberspace. They are sailors who know that the sea, like life, has its rages and can be a merciless monster when it wants to, dashing the poem of your endless summer on the rhymeless rocks of outrageous fortune.
Populist Manifesto Number 1, done in 1976. Poets, come out of your closets. Open your windows. Open your doors. You have been holed up too long in your closed worlds. Come down. Come down from your Russian hills and Telegraph Hills, your Beacon Hills, your Chapel Hills, your Mount Analogues and Montparnasses. Down from your foothills and mountains. Out of your teepees and domes. The trees are still falling and will to the woods no more. No time now for sitting in them as man burns down his own house to roast his pig. No more chanting Hare Krishna while Rome burns. San Francisco's burning. Mayakovsky's Moscow's burning. The fossil fuels of life. Night and the horse approaches, eating light, heat, and power, and the clouds have trousers. No time now for the artist to hide above, beyond, behind the scenes, indifferent, paring his fingernails, refining himself out of existence. No time now for our little literary games. No time now for our paranoias and hypochondrias. No time now for fear and loathing. Time now only for light and love. We have seen the best minds of our generation destroyed by boredom at poetry readings. Poetry isn't a secret society. It isn't a temple either. Secret words and chants won't do any longer. The hour of oming is over. The time for keening come. Time for keening and rejoicing over the coming end of industrial civilization, which is bad for earth and man. Time now to face outward in the full lotus position, with eyes wide open. Time now to open your mouths with a new open speech. Time now to communicate with all sentient beings. All you poets of the cities hung in museums, including myself. All you poets writing poetry about poetry. All you dead language poets and deconstructionists. All you poetry workshop poets in the boondock heart of America. All you housebroken Ezra Pounds. All you far out, freaked out, cut up poets. All you pre-stressed concrete poets. All you conolingual poets. All you pay toilet poets groaning with graffiti. All you A-train swingers who never swing on birches. All you masters of the sawmill haiku in the Siberias of America. All you eyeless unrealists. All you self-occulting super surrealists. All you bedroom visionaries and closet agit propagators. All you Groucho Marxist poets and leisure class comrades who lie around all day and talk about the working class proletariat. All you Catholic anarchists of poetry. All you black mountaineers of poetry. All you Boston Brahmins and Bolinas bucolics. All you den mothers of poetry. All you Zen brothers of poetry. All you suicide lovers of poetry. All you hairy professors of poesy. All you poetry reviewers drinking the blood of the poet. All you poetry police. Where are Whitman's wild children? Where the great voices speaking out with a sense of sweetness and sublimity? Where the great new vision, the great worldview, the high prophetic song of the immense earth and all that sings in it and our relation to it? Poets, descend to the street of the world once more and open your minds and eyes with the old visual delight. Clear your throat and speak up. Poetry is dead. Long live poetry. With terrible eyes and buffalo strength. Don't wait for the revolution, or it'll happen without you. Stop mumbling and speak out with a new, wide-open poetry, with a new, common-sensual public surface, with other subjective levels, or other subversive levels, a tuning fork in the inner ear to strike below the surface of your own sweet self. Still sing, yet utter the word en masse. Poetry, the common carrier for the transportation of the public to higher places than other wheels can carry it. Poetry still falls from the skies into our streets, still open. They haven't yet put up barricades. The streets still alive with faces, lovely men and women. Still walking there, still lovely creatures everywhere, in the eyes of all the secret of all still buried there, Whitman's wild children still sleeping there, awake and sing in the open air.
This is East End Inc. We heard area writers reading the work of the late Lawrence Ferlin Getty. The readers were Fred Gardafay, Distinguished Professor of English and Italian American Studies at Queens College, and the John D. Calandra Italian American Institute, George Wallace, writer in residence at the Walt Whitman Birthplace and Adjunct Professor of English at Pace University. Mary Mart, bookseller at Good Times Bookshop in Port Jefferson. Bart Malio, poet, musician, and author of the forthcoming poetry collection, Out of the Rim of the Now. Heidi Rain, writer, artist, and community activist. And Thomas Oleschuk, poet and community activist. East End Inc. is produced by Tony Ernst with the aid of Marianne Calendrill and Catherine Soka.